who, as you were saying beforehand...
He lived in Old Welling, and he had just started this new company called Cresta.
I even remember exactly where his house was. Beautiful house.
Never went to
I
see
the
find
house.
It. No. And my memory is that he was looking for a bookkeeper come accountant for this firm. I think it had, at the time, two shops. Strangely enough, in St Ives and Penzance, despite the fact that they were based in Welling Garden City. Never quite understood that. And my mother said to Mr Heron that she thought that her fiancé might be able to meet the requirements of the job. Sent him a telegram. He looked up the translation of the word bookkeeper. Said, yeah, I could do that. And that was his opportunity to find a permanent position, not only with the company, but in England. Because at the time, I think he was...
He was in the Isle of Man at the time, wasn't he?
I thought he was in York. He came to England via Sweden.
That's
we
true.
Agreed on that?
Yes.
Fine.
I thought he was in the Isle of Man, came via Malmo.
That's... Well, it could easily have been that. You see, I might have skipped one of the hurdles. But having been then offered the job... He was given a permanent visa to stay in England, came to London, to Welling Garden City, I should say, and started the job as a bookkeeper.
Right, as far as Cresta Silks itself was concerned, you know it was originally a manufacturing unit, and then they diverged, not only manufactured, but also bought. And bought, they had two wonderful ladies called Miss Date and Miss Barlow. Have you heard those names mentioned?
No.
Irene Date and Peggy Barlow. And they were, I can remember them actually doing lots of trips abroad to start bringing in rather haute couture-type clothing from abroad, which included going to Paris. I don't know how much you want to know about sort of the manufacturing side as opposed to the buying side, because, as David said, it started off as a tiny little setup of only two shops in Cornwall. Eventually, it became about 50-odd shops all over the country.
67, actually.
Was it? Oh, okay, fine. 67 shops.
But they always picked sort of nice towns.
Yes.
In nice places, so it was sort of the Solihulls and the...
Chester, I remember very clearly. Because they had a regular van going all over the place, the delivery and collection system. And we, in fact, because we were sort of privileged youngsters, we actually sometimes went with them to these various exciting places.
Yes.
And there was a certain Cresta image that you saw every day.
Certainly upmarket.
Yes.
It was definitely for the
very county.
Cashmere and pearls plus the rest.
Yes. And of course, they had their own retail outlet in Welling Garden City as well. And their offices were part of what used to be the Welling department store.
Which is now John Lewis, I believe.
And I spent several happy summers working there, being spoilt by all the old ladies.
So what did you do when you were working there?
When I was working there, slept most of the time.
Were you doing the card systems?
Yeah, the card systems and sorting invoices. All the most boring of jobs. But it was an opportunity to... sort of experience the work environment. I was sort of 12, 13, 14 years old at this time, so it wasn't exactly high-level work at all.
We all had our little experience of working there, holiday jobs.
But I do remember joining my father on various trips because in his sort of management position, and certainly later on when he became a senior manager and a director, he would visit shops around the country, and I would... join him on those trips, Mr. Savage, and of course Mr. Crabtree.
Eric Crabtree.
Eric Crabtree,
you know that name, don't you?
Is the most important name.
And Jimmy Wade. Oh, Jimmy Wade was Eric Crabtree's sidekick, who did a lot of the buying. He was a very
artistic.
Is that
all he was?
It was Irene Date and Peggy Barlow on the one hand, and Eric Crabtree with Jimmy Wade.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and in 1955, Cresta was bought by Debenhams.
Was it
55?
I don't remember exactly when.
Sometime in the 50s, anyway.
So what did you see of the manufacturing? Because we've talked to seamstresses who did hand stitching as well as...
It was couture-type work.
Mm.
It was not sort of loads of people sitting at machines and getting on with it. And I actually had... I started off my work experience there working on a stand and draping on a stand and pinning up and playing with fabrics. It was lovely again.
How many people were employed there at that time?
The whole of the ground floor was manufacturing.
So what? I have no concept of how many people they employed. Was it dozens or hundreds?
Oh, yes. Dozens. Not hundreds, but dozens. Yes.
I mean, the company as a whole was hundreds because, of course, they had all the retail staff in the different shops. But
I cannot recall whether they had any manufacturing outside Welling Garden, but I certainly remember a whole the whole of the ground floor was manufacturing. Mm. I remember the fabric area, the workshop area, the compilation. Yeah.
Is this...
Our father stopped working there in 1960. I remember commuting backwards and forwards when we moved to London.
Oh, gosh, yes.
And that was for several years. The mid-60s.
Maybe it was early 70s. He obviously wanted to be properly qualified for the job.
Mm.
And in order to satisfy himself and, of course, his employers, he took the certified accountancy exams.
Mm.
So he became an ACCA, or later on an FCCA, and also the certified secretarial board's examinations. I think that's ACIS. And he must have completed those studies sometime around 52, 53, 1952, 53. Because as I was mentioning earlier, I remember my being removed from the living room where he did his
studies. I'm amazed you remember all that, because I remember
him
always doing this studying.
It's extraordinary what little things you remember. You remember being ushered out of the room because he's studying. I also remember being subjected to a Haliborange vitamin tablet every morning at breakfast, because these were standard issue
for the whole
members of staff.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Every member of staff was given a Haliborange vitamin C tablet every day in order to try and control their colds and coughs and sneezes. Whether it was successful or not, I just don't know.
Right.
And every morning at breakfast, at the coffee break, they were issued with chocolate digestive biscuits.
Which we always used to call our mid-morning elevenses.
So,
it was one of those things that I misread it the first time, and it was always after that the elevenses.
Yes, yes.
And of course it was those biscuits that I would always take to school in Parkway and Applecroft for any school event. And I was always the most popular person at the table because I had the chocolate biscuits.
Of course.
But then wrapped up in silver paper, silver and red paper we had some.
Yeah, red paper I remember. Mm. But otherwise, my father's studies is quite a clear memory.
So he was doing the day job and studying all the extra time.
He was doing the day job.
Spare time.
And he was studying for two sets of exams. Mm.
Gosh.
He was raising a family of three children.
Yeah.
And he was secretary of the local community.
Yeah.
So what did he do in his spare time?
No.
He was very much a full-time, hands-on father. Mm.
Yeah.
You know, even in those days, he was changing nappies. Not that I remember him changing my nappies, but I certainly...
Do you remember him making you your breakfast, for example?
Oh, yes. He always took charge of the breakfasts.
Yeah.
He was loath to spend too much time away from home, which in some respects might have curtailed his career potential. He still did very well for himself. He ended up as... deputy chairman.
Yes.
He was the managing director for a little while. He was certainly the finance director for some time, but he was always under the shadow of Crabtree.
They had a very loyal staff, right, literally up to his death. In fact, even at his death, we had lovely letters from his old secretaries.
Yes.
So...
he only worked for one company.
Yes.
All his life.
Yes.
One company. That's almost unheard of these days.
Very, very little was spoken about it, but I do gather it was quite a well-to-do household.
Well, saw the house, you said.
Yes, I know the house. And it was a bit of an upstairs-downstairs relationship, for what I could gather. I remember meeting Tom Heron himself as well, quite a distinguished-looking man.
Did you ever know his son, Patrick?
No, who is the famous artist, of course.
So you say you did meet Tom Heron?
Oh, yes.
What was he like?
I just remember him as a tall... I was sort of in my very, very early years.
Yes.
Being sort of 7, 8, 9, something like that.
Yeah.
I just remember him as a tall, distinguished, white-haired man who I just looked up to.
Yes.
I honestly cannot tell you a lot about him, sorry. I just remember things like the card index system, having to go in on a Saturday morning and looking at what was sold and taking them out of one card system and putting into another so they had complete stock control, and then moving them when they were moved from one shop to another. Everything was in beautiful, organised racks of cards.
Yes. Yeah.
Very meticulous and organised.
Yes. Yeah.
And
that
would have been in no small part due to my father, who was extremely well organised. Everything was in its proper place.
Teutonic pipes.
Yes.
Do not remember, Mummy, without glittering long...
Yes.
The emerald with the long drop earrings
and
matching... necklace and all that sort of stuff.
So why didn't she give that to me?
What sort of time period do you think that was when they went into the... You're saying they went diversified into, or expanded into accessories.
Well, I know it was at a time that they were involved in quite a lot of entertaining, because they had to go to sort of smart do's, and it, but they did for a short while. Is it on?
Yes.
They did for a short while go into accessories and did sell things like Christian Dior copies, beautiful jewellery, very, very ornate. I'm not quite sure how much, how what sort of other accessories were involved, but I actually have some of those, which I'm very happy to let you have copies of, photographs. In fact, actually, I've got your email address. I'll scan them in and let you have them.
Yes. So people could go in and be fully kitted out.
Oh, yes. Works. And I have a feeling that the accessories extended beyond jewellery, but it's nothing.
Didn't do shoes or handbags, did they?
Don't think so. They certainly had things like the scarves.
Yes.
That certainly came into it. Mm. So, yes, you did go in to be... You went into the modern shop and your individual sales lady knew all about you and, in fact, phoned you up and said, I've got just the right outfit for you, I can get you out. And that was the idea, it was that sort of era. And I actually felt it lost some of that when it became part of Debenhams, because it didn't have its individuality in the same way anymore.
Mm.
It became part of a much too large an empire and had to conform, whereas historically they'd been very much geared to their individual special customers. Mm. That sort of...
Mm.